Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I've got 8 random questions here. You pick 3 numbers, and then whatever question they correlate to, that's where we start.
Okay. Let's go for 3.
My lucky number, I like it. This is an easy one, a good starting point. This one's wrap gifts. What is the most memorable wrap gift you've ever received or given?
Owen did a little drawing of an ape on a card, and yeah, that was amazing. And I gave him a photography book. I can't remember the name of the photographer, but his work is sensational. It's a lot of very black and white, like contrasting images. Anyway, we were both taking film, like doing film photography on the set. Although my camera broke midway through, so I was really jealous because he was taking tons of photos and I couldn't. Anyway.
I love that, though. I have to ask, is he an artist, or is it kind of a sketch?
Yeah, he does, like, these little cartoon-type things, and so our art's quite different. We were saying, like, I want to be able to try out his type, and he wants to try out my type, so maybe at some point I'll try.
Yeah, you got to work together again, art forms.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. All right, second number, what you got?
2.
Number 2 is, this is a good one. This is audition high and low. Can you give me 1 audition high you've experienced, but then I also want to know an audition low and what you learned from it that you were able to apply to future auditions?
I would say an audition high was definitely the screen test for this. Just because me and Owen, it just felt like it just clicked, you know? And we were just so in that moment, and it was... I just left thinking, if I don't get this role, fine, because I had an amazing experience there. And an audition low would probably actually be when I originally auditioned, when I auditioned for Siri, and I was told I couldn't have the role because they wanted a different look. And I had thought, they'd said they loved my audition, but that I was no longer the right look. So it broke my heart in that moment. Yeah.
And now... Seriously, I'm actually going to come back to that. I wanted to ask about working with that casting director, but I'll save it for my little roadmap here. You've got 1 last number to pick. How are we wrapping this up?
We will go with 7.
This one's my favorite question. It is called Scream, which means there's only 1 question to ask. What is your favorite scary movie?
Oh. I don't watch that many, so I'm not very interested on that
the
one.
The amount of times I've heard that.
Yeah, it's not really... I'll just go with the first one I ever watched, which was called Lost Hearts. It's from, like, 19 God knows what. My dad watched it when he was about 8, and then he showed me when I was about 10, and I was traumatized. So,
Lost Hearts?
The Lost Hearts. I think it's based off a book. It's about these 2 ghosts, they've lost their hearts, and they walk around like this. And their nails are super long because they're dead. And it really freaked me out.
I feel like If someone tells me they're not super into horror movies and don't watch a lot, at the very least, I'm thrilled to hear a movie that I haven't seen. That's the kind of homework I like to
do. You know what's
home
freaky about it is the fact it's from that time period. It's shot in that time. So it's all very kind of like fuzzy. And that almost adds a level. You know, everything now is so crisp and clear that I can't believe any of it. But that's so like fuzzy, and even though like the makeup was obviously not the best or anything, but like it's instantly creepy.
Oh,
and the
okay.
music, oh my god.
This is gonna make me very, very happy. The next time we talk, I'm gonna come back with a full review of Lost Hearts
great.
For you.
Great.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back for a brand new edition of Collider Ladies Night, one I'm very excited about because I get to welcome Freya Allen to the show for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. My god, you're exceptional in this.
Thanks.
What is the movie you saw, performance you saw, personal experience you had, whatever it may be, that first made you say to yourself, I absolutely have to be an actor?
I mean, I couldn't tell you for sure what the first, but I know that I was very obsessed with Testament of Youth. When I started out, my mum showed me the film and I just got very, I was just very hooked on an Alicia Vikander's performance in it, and it made me want to do something like that. And we watched it about 100 times. I don't know, me and my mum sometimes watch something and then we get like hooked and we watch the film about 1,000 times. So that's kind of what happened with that one.
I respect that. I'll follow up with two random questions. What film do you quote the most?
Harry Potter.
I've heard that one a lot.
Yeah.
I get it. So that's the one you quote the most. What is the most recent obsession for you and your mom, the current film that you're watching over and over and over again?
What is the recent one? I'm trying to think. I feel like it's not a film, but we love a good little romantic thing, me and my mum. Like, I seem to specifically watch anything romantic with her, so we watch One Day quite a lot.
My mom's
been
very
on
into that. She's mad I haven't watched it yet. I have to watch it. I hear it's great.
Yeah. No, it's great.
It's on the list. Here's one thing I'm always curious to ask when someone decides that they want to build a career as an actor, because I know priorities change along the way. When you first decided to pursue this career path, what did you picture making it look at? What did you picture making it look like, and how does that compare to what you've achieved so far, which is quite a bit?
Well, actually, I remember like when I was 14, at least, so right when I started, I actually really wanted to be in something that was fantasy. And so I got that with The Witcher, right? And then my other dream was to be in a movie in the cinemas. So, you know, here we are.
We need more goals.
No, I've got more now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, now I want to be in an A24 film. That's like my thing. I've got so close and they always give me, I always get the best scripts from them. And I'm like, I want to do that.
I was just reading on my way here a new report that the Filippo brothers, who directed Talk to Me. Yeah, you don't watch a lot of scary movies, though.
No.
I will recommend watching Talk to Me.
I have heard of it, yeah.
And then just going after whatever those two make with A24 next.
Okay, great.
I just
love it.
I try to manifest things that I want during these ladies' nights.
Yes.
So that's my request.
That's great. Perfect.
All right, going back to your particular journey, I always love asking somebody about studying a craft like acting in school. And I was, you know, reading you went to National Film and Television School. And
no, I didn't.
You didn't?
It's wrong. Here's for all the viewers, it's wrong. I did not go to National Film School. I did not go to Beckinsfield, whatever the, I don't know. What
you didn't? You didn't,
I didn't
study?
Go to, no.
Oh my God.
I just did short films with them. So they were
if
students.
If I knew how to edit someone's Wikipedia page, I would take this on
it's
myself.
It's so frustrating because everyone thinks I've not done any of that.
I'll flip that around then. What is something about not studying a craft like this in a formal setting that, I mean, maybe you think benefited you or
yes.
or like a place where you could find teaching if not in a school that people might overlook because it's not a traditional
yes.
school?
Well, I've been told by people that, but by actors that have gone to school, that they're like your biggest power, Freya, is that you haven't. Mm. Because I think, especially starting at 14, I've always just trusted in an instinct and a feeling, you know, and there hasn't been too much noise. And I think that for me personally, of course there are amazing things you can take from drama school, but for me personally, I like to be able to you know, not have any of that and to just have my life and what I've gone through in life and have that as a little toolbox, you know. I think that's far more real than certain other things. So yeah, that was for me like the most, that was just, I feel grateful for that basically, if that makes
sense. I always say whether it's like film school or studying a craft like acting in school, it's right for some, it's not right for the others, and you have to trust your instincts above all else.
Yeah, I think for me it's just about like in the gaps between filming things is actually going out and living and experiencing, and that's what my kind of focus is on, I guess.
I don't know if you're going to remember this with such clarity, but what is the last unexpected place you've picked up a new tool to add to your acting toolkit?
I mean, probably like a breakup.
I get it.
You know?
I get it.
The things that really pull on the heartstrings. But I was also going to say earlier, sorry, I also feel like I've been lucky because I started working so young to have absorbed a lot of other actors subconsciously, you know, and watching them 100%. So much of where I'm, you know, how I work is down to just subconsciously absorbing from amazing actors who have been opposite me. And I feel like that, I feel very lucky to have learned that way, you know, and to have been kind of inspired by the people in front of me and to have been like, you know what, I want to be a bit like them, you know? So yeah.
Oh, I am ruining my roadmap, but that just sparked a follow-up question that I love, love, love. It's a big question. Can you tell me an actor who you've worked with a similar process where like the second you two met, you were immediately in sync? But then I also want the opposite, someone with a different approach that challenged you to adapt and try something new and for the better.
I can't think of like, because I feel like we do, like us, like when you're working with, you know, with your fellow actors, you do sit and talk a little bit about it, but I don't honestly know who I've worked with who I could say is the same. I've watched interviews of other actors where I've been like, oh, that's similar. Like Joaquin Phoenix was having an interview and I was like, oh, he kind of, I feel like there's, you know, like what he was saying resonated with me. I'd love to be like him because I think he's amazing. But I definitely think recently I've begun to enjoy more than I used to rehearsals. Which I know that some of my co-stars on The Witcher love. I used to hate them because I just wanted to, for me, camera rolling and action is like, I'd then jump out of the plane, you know? And I hate the half-hearted thing of like pretending that we're doing it in a room that's not it. Like I have never enjoyed that because I want to be in it. And like fully there. But I'm beginning to recently really, really actually enjoy finding different things by, you know, doing it a lot of times. Because usually I'm kind of like, I quite like to just do like few takes and just get it, that's how I've been. But more recently I've just been noticing myself thinking and finding new bits and pieces that have excited me, so maybe that's beginning to change. I don't know.
I love that. I mean it's an art form that evolves every single step of the way
based on
the experiences you have. Love it. I'm going back to my roadmap now to talk about the Witcher casting process. So you just added a whole nother layer that I wasn't even aware of. So I find auditioning for a show like that to be fascinating because on the one hand, there's so much secrecy. So sometimes like you don't even know what you're doing. Yeah. Then I read that you were originally cast in a different role and then Ciri came up. So what is it like from your perspective, finding enough clarity and confidence to know that you're crushing the audition work? And is there anything that casting director did to help you, you know, guide you in the right direction and bring the best out of you in that setting?
Yeah, well, I mean, I, you know, Googled it before and I thought, okay, you know, I look quite like her. I feel like there were characteristics about her that I felt like I would be able to bring. And so I was really excited and I went into that audition so prepared and I came out and they were just very welcoming and, you know, very warm and good at giving direction. And then I got an email from them, you know, and I left. Usually you don't leave an audition feeling like I have a good feeling about this. And I actually did. And then I got this email, my mum got this email saying that they were, the studio was wanting to go in a different direction in terms of the way she looked. So I wasn't that. And it kind of broke my heart because I thought I was perfect for it, you know? And because there's so much is about everything aligning, you know, you have to look right for it, you know, you have to be the right age, all these things. And I thought it was all perfect and then it wasn't for me. And so they said, but we still want, you know, the casting people had really liked me and they were like, we still want you in the show. So will you come and audition for this other character? So I did, and then they told me I got it. And then my mum showed up at my school one day and I was like, instantly I knew, they've changed their mind. They want to see me. Like, I instantly knew. I was like, why has she showed up at my school? And she did. She came up to me and she was like, Freya, I've just got a call from your agent and they want you to come in tomorrow for the back for the role of Siri. And this is, I just had to tell you and I had to come and pick you up to tell you because she knew how much it had meant to me. And she'd been so supportive along the way, you know. So yeah, I went in for Siri again, was up against one other person, and they gave me a big hug in the audition room, and I was like, I feel like I got it. But then I had to wait still for it all to be confirmed, and then I found out, like, the day before my birthday. It was amazing.
What a ride.
Oh, it was a roller coaster, yeah.
I have a lot of respect for what you all do as actors. One thing in particular that truly blows my mind, as someone who has a very difficult time, like, dealing with rejection, is when... like, you hear you can't get something for something that's completely out of your control.
Yeah.
And isn't reflective of the quality of your work.
Yes, it's highly... And that is being an actor, you know? I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. The amount I watch where I go, really? I mean, that person... I know some amazing actors that are trying to, you know, land things. And sometimes I watch it and I'm like, why is that person, you know, like... Why have all these people that I know that are so good are not getting it, and this person is? It's frustrating.
I'll follow up on that to give someone a shout out. Is there someone who is maybe lesser known that you want to make sure anybody watching this video, like, seeks out what they're doing now because they're bound for and deserve big things in the future?
I mean, yeah, there's so many people I could say that you know, that I've met that trying to land something stable. I don't want to favoritize anyone because there's a lot of them.
But understandable.
But yeah, I hope that they do. It's just like a cruel thing where sometimes it just is super unfair, but it's frustrating for me to sit and like see. And then also, like I say, watch things and be like, how has that person got it?
I get it all too well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, I obviously have to ask a little bit about the upcoming season of The Witcher, because there's, you know, there's going to be a big change on the horizon that will impact you because you will have a different scene partner. I believe you've started filming, but correct me if I'm wrong. Can you maybe tell us something about Liam's approach to the work that I guess will create a sort of like seamless move from what we've seen in the past from Henry to what he's going to deliver in that particular role?
I mean, I don't want to speak for him.
I get
you
it.
Know, like I, but you know, from what I've understood, I feel like he's really wanting to try and bring the heart, I guess. I think he's, you know, he's been training, and I think he's I feel sorry for him, honestly, because I think he's, you know, number one, that fan base can be very attacky, and it's not an ideal situation to be in, taking up someone else's role. Mm-hmm. But I'm really excited to see what he does, and he's such a lovely guy. I just hope that people give him the time of day, you know?
I understand that too. Understand that all too well, living on the internet. Mm-hmm. Actually, to flip that around so you don't have to speak for him and you can speak for yourself, is there anything new you've been able to find in your own character based on having someone else's interpretation on that particular role to act opposite of?
Not really, 'cause our characters don't really... all the storylines are kind of going their separate ways this season, so it's very much my own journey. Like, obviously, Geralt's always going to have like a massive weight on my character, but it's very much her. She's got a lot going on this season. She goes to some very dark places within herself, and also just like discoveries and. Coming into being a woman, basically, and so yeah, she's got her own separate thing. I don't think, there isn't much of an interaction there. So
she always got a lot going on.
She's always got a lot going on. And then I read the scripts this season, I'm like, wow, she's really got a lot going on this time.
I mean, that seems to be like a thread in your work. Your poor character in this movie has a lot of pressure and a lot going on as well.
Yeah, people clearly look at me and they go, yeah, she's got a lot going on. She'll do the job.
They look at you and they're like, she can handle it. Because, like, also, if you don't have an actor in these roles who can't, like, exude and make accessible that kind of internal complexity, then, I don't know, like, aren't these characters hollow?
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I try to do. You know, even though a lot of this is very genre, I try my hardest to still make sure that the priority lies in that, and that I'm not playing a character, that this is a person that I'm really kind of like feeling. Mm. So, I mean, that's the whole point. That's what's exciting for me about acting, you know? That's the whole point of it for me. That's why I'm so excited to hopefully do something like an A24 thing, you know, where that is the complete and utter priority, because that's what I like. Excites me, you know.
I am waiting for the day that news breaks. In the
meantime,
come
on now. I say it in every interview.
I'm happy to continue pushing that forward. In the meantime, though, I'm happy to watch and rewatch this movie over and over, because again, like, the subtleties and complexities, I think, is going to make it a very rich rewatch, where I'm going to find new layers of everyone's character along the way.
I'm glad you say that. Thanks.
I mean it too. I got very caught up in their headspaces. A big two-part question about first signing on. When you took the role of May, what aspect of her were you most looking forward to playing? But then I also want to know something you found along the way that wound up becoming a bigger part of the character than you could have imagined at the start. I'm just happy. Is it a B? Someone at Collider is going to clip this out and save it forever, even if it doesn't get into the final
video.
They
absolutely should.
The second part of the question was a quality of hers you found along the way that surprised you that it became such a big part of her.
Oh, God. And what was the first bit?
I'm so sweaty
right
now.
I got so distracted by the wasp. What was the first bit?
A part of her that you were most looking forward to playing, and then something you found along the way.
Okay, most looking forward to playing was the relationship between her and Noah, and how that... how that challenges everything she's ever known.
Okay, this is great. This is just
You're
great.
Like, you know what? This I wish we were actually doing this in a hotel.
Why is it right here? I'm wasting all of my time by doing this.
It's great. You've got like meme-worthy content here.
What do I do about this? I see.
You just
okay,
have to
go.
Live in a meditative state of... calm.
This is great. I'm like, I can watch any horror movie. You put one itty bitty bee in my face and I just lose it.
Yeah, you're one of those.
Okay.
What did I discover?
Yeah. Something, Noah, you were looking forward to, and then something you discovered.
I think I discovered a lot actually from watching it, you know? And really like getting to see how much, like, I can see how Noah just doesn't, is constantly disappointed by the distrust there, you know? But at the time playing it, I was like, well, it just makes, you know, she's, of course she's got to be selfish in these things, you know? Like, she's a single human in a planet of apes. I mean, obviously she's not a single human, but you know what I mean? Like, in that, where she is, the setting she's in, she's on her own, you know? And she hasn't got a teammate, you know? Like, a true teammate. You know, the weight of humanity is on her shoulders. So it makes sense as to why she'd be doing selfish things, because she has to, in order to survive, in order to, you know, uphold everything her family ever wanted. You know, it's a massive weight on, like, her heart as well. Mm-hmm. So I think she'll just die if she has to, basically.
Oh, I have so many follow-up questions. First, I'm a big nerd for backstory and how it motivates a character in the moment we get to experience in the movie. Is there anything you came up with about her past on your own that we don't necessarily see or hear about, yeah, but at the very least we could feel it informing your performance?
Yes. So her parents went out on the same mission, and so that was like, I constantly held that with me. And they died. They never came back. Or they never came back. You never know. Maybe they're alive. But they never came back. So I think that drove me a lot.
But this is not a bee. This is not a bee, and I know it.
It's probably a... Oh, it's... I don't know what it is. A fly or something. Yes, and also I held on to this thing that she had some kind of love interest who was in her group. And they all died. And Proximus killed them.
Oh, my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to see that, but wow, would I love to experience her prequel story.
Well, there was actually a moment where there was a moment. Now I can feel things in my hair. There was a moment.
This is all my fault. I apologize for you for the rest of the day.
No, this is very apes. It's perfect. But there was a moment in one of the scenes which was taken out, but where she says, you know, to Noah, do you like Suna? And then we went into this other little like moment of her where I got to really like think about that person that had been in the camp with me without vocalizing it, but it was there. So yeah, there was a lot of that, which no one will ever know. But maybe they will if there's another movie. Maybe. Maybe they'll change my entire backstory and I'll be like, sorry, I just spent the whole movie with this like heartbreaking story and suddenly my parents are actually there.
No.
Hopefully not.
I felt what you're explaining for what that's worth.
Oh, great.
You brought this up before, but I am curious, what guides her moral compass the most? And do you think she'll draw the line anywhere?
I think it's, you know, listen, like when she, like I say, when she's got the weight of number one, her family that literally went out to try and do this and for all she knows died. She's not going to let, you know, one ape get in the way of that. She has to keep that focus. She's got too many people relying on her. And you know, when a lot of people that you care about are no longer there, that kind of is like they live in that mission, you know? And so there's stuff that she does which it's not easy, you know? She doesn't enjoy doing the things that she does throughout this film, but she kind of hasn't got another choice. And that is kind of, if she wants to live, at least, you know? Otherwise, you end up like Raka.
Oh, my heart. You know? That hurt a little.
I know.
I will lift the spoiler warning for this last apes question I want to ask. Can you speak a little bit about maybe the moment you think she implicitly trusts Noah compared to the level of trust she has at the end with him?
I actually think, but I mean, that's why it's so great, it's up for interpretation, but she, yes, there's a level of trust, or at least like, I think in that moment where she calls his name, she hasn't really got another choice. She's either going to get caught by that ape, or she's going to signal that ape to come get her, who's he's screaming her name. So yes, there is a level of trust, or at least like blind faith, like she has to, she hasn't got any other options basically but to call his name, right? And I think she's still figuring him out and figuring out the fact that he's challenging everything she's known about apes. I think at the end of the movie, It's not so much about the. I think she's scared of his intelligence, right? So she's learnt how she's come. She's been so shocked at their intelligence and how similar they are to humans. And so I think at the end of the movie, it's about her looking at someone who is she's afraid of. And I think Noah similarly feels the same. It's like, what are we going to do to each other? You know, are we going to see those similarities and become like this or not? And I think it's that unfortunate, like, friendship, even though... But then it's like, I think she obviously has a level of guilt because of the things that she's done. And I think she knows that inevitably this whole story has kind of been one giant, like, example of what their relationship is and what it's going to... Which is, unfortunately, one that is going to be, you know... there's, like, a lingering doom.
I need another chapter really badly.
But at the same time, it's sad because there is, like, this... You know, you can see that there's a care there, but it's like a toxic relationship.
Oh, it is. One, like, that is fascinatingly complex, and I would love to explore more. Every episode of Lady Tonight ends with this particular question. It is my favorite question. Nobody likes answering it. In this industry, people give each other awards. Super cool. We should keep doing that. Nobody tells themselves good job nearly enough. I want to know something you accomplished making Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes that you could look back on and say, I'm so proud of what I did there.
Oh, God. Probably, like, shooting the last scene at the start of the shoot.
Oh.
That was a tough 2 days. And it was... They separated it, I don't know why, over 2 days. So I had to maintain this kind of, like, draining, like, state throughout 2 days. And I just got off a flight because they changed it. So I was jet-lagged. And it was like, let's just get through it. And also, like, shooting the end of the movie before you've even done any of the other stuff was not ideal. But... I'm proud that I got through it.
You did it quite well. I'm extremely proud of myself that my butt stayed in the seat. I didn't get up. I didn't get up this entire time.
Yeah, that was like painful to watch you. I can't lie.
Thank you so much for being on Collider Ladies Night. Next time you come back to the show, we'll be inside without any bees and I will act like a professional human being.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.